This podcast is brought to you by Business Radio, powered by Wharton.
I'm Carl Ulrich, Vice Dean of Entrepreneurship and Innovation at the Wharton School, and this is Launchpad, where I talk to successful entrepreneurs about the secrets to launching and growing their startups.
I'm super lucky to be joined in the studio now by Monica Martinez, who's the founder and owner of Don Buguito. Monica, thanks so much for coming in.
You're welcome. Thanks for the
invitation. All right. So you've got a terrific name, and we're going to get into that in a minute. But first, let me point our listeners to your website. So it's Don Buguito, B-U-G-I-T-O. So D-O-N-B-U-G-I-T-O, donbuguito.com. All right. Give us the elevator pitch for Don Buguito.
Don Buguito is a San Francisco food company. We have been in business for 7 years. We were one of the first businesses. They opened the dialogue of edible insects. We obviously sell edible insects in packaged products like snacks.
Wait, did you say edible insects?
I did say edible insects.
And you're in the studio with suspicious looking packages in front of me.
Yeah, they're really good looking packaging.
Yeah, they are beautiful. They're very beautiful.
So we do, as I mentioned, we've been in business for 7 years. So out of those 7 years, we've been about, mostly it's been about like the first 4 years about educating people about the benefits of edible insects. Why edible insects? So 7 years ago, people didn't have any idea about that you can
Well, I would say at this time, as we speak, I don't have any idea. So give me the, educate me, Monica.
Well, I will educate you. So 80% of the world eats edible insects. United States and Europe, some countries in Europe are, you know, the only countries in the entire planet that don't consume edible insects.
Yeah.
The reasons why edible insects are in some way a new trend in the United States are because they're really high in protein, omega-3 fiber, and besides being incredible nutritional, they are outstanding sustainable. Like they're very water efficient, literally saying the insects don't really need gallons and gallons of water to generate protein.
Yeah.
So insects have higher percentage of protein than red meat. Mostly
really?
Cattle farm.
So a cricket I suppose it's also a question of whether you measure it live or dehydrated, right? But give me some notion of how much protein is in a cricket.
We usually measure it by like 100 grams of red meat against 100 grams of dry insect.
Okay, so 100 protein, grams so of ready-to-cook meat compared to 100 grams of dried insect.
Insects.
Okay,
so,
and about how much protein is in
so in the red meat, you get like 23 to, you know, mostly 28%.
Yeah.
And an insect is like, you know, 27 to 35%. So it's highly, definitely higher in protein. And thinking about also insects don't have cholesterol or saturated fats.
Mm.
So insects relate a lot to like nuts.
Yeah.
So they have a good fat like the omega-3. And thinking about the sustainability and ecological, you know, aspect of insects, you can raise thousands of them in very small amount of space. Like you can do urban farming.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we started doing last year. And they don't need water. They get water from vegetables.
Yeah.
So it's not that, you know, for every pound of meat, you need like 5 gallons of water or something like that.
No, way more than that.
Yeah.
It's hundreds, I think.
Yeah, 50 or something ridiculous. For insects, you literally don't need, it's very minimal, the amount of water. They don't generate like waste, like it's almost like zero waste farming with insects, like all the poop, you call it frass.
Mm-hmm.
It goes for fertilizer,
uh-huh.
So it's great, like, you know, nutritional. So there's not really like, you know, we're not polluting water or like, you know, killing forests to raise this type of protein. So it costs like an alternative protein, a very smart alternative protein.
And let me, so that's really awesome and interesting. And I'm quite interested in the footprint associated with food production and so forth. So this is really right up my alley. I guess what I wonder is, are there actually places in the world, maybe developed economies, where a significant fraction of the protein supply is coming from insects, or even in the, not so much, it's that they are being eaten. But
I think it's mostly because Don Buguito, I'm going to talk a little bit about like when the concept of Don Buguito came. It was about like reviving some ancestral food practices.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it doesn't mean like, you know, 80% of the entire population eats insects, but most of the countries like Mexico, I'm from Mexico, I grew up in Mexico City, and Mexico is one of the leaders on edible insects. We have 500 different varieties of edible insects, but doesn't mean that everybody eats.
Right, so tell me about what had been your exposure to edible insects growing up in Mexico, or maybe even what's the most common pattern of consumption of edible insects in Mexico?
Well, as I say, we have 500 different varieties. The insects, the only difference then for my company, what's happening in Mexico is that most of the insects come from like by season.
Yeah.
And that means like they're not farming the edible insects.
I see.
They're not being farmed and they're just being gathered in the fields. And sometimes that has a little high risk because sometimes these fields, these crops have like pesticides.
I see.
So there's not much control on that.
And is it typically either a native population that's eating them?
So yes, and it's moving now. It's becoming more trend, especially the grasshoppers, chapulines.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can see a big trend now, like in a lot of restaurants in the United States, you can find these these insects. That's the only difference is just by season and not farming. While we trying to do here in the United States, Don Buguito is trying to do is trying to like you know. Kind of create this new path of farming edible insects.
Yeah.
I was just trying to answer your question.
Yeah. So
in Mexico, it's either so in the city, you either pay really a lot of money for edible insects, and you have to go to a really expensive restaurant.
Yeah.
And then, or you find them in the countryside.
So either you are dirt poor and you're gathering themselves, or you're super rich and you're getting them in a fancy restaurant.
So that's, with Don Buguito, I'm trying to go to the middle.
Yeah.
And that's where we're trying to prove that you can farm these guys in a very urban setting.
Yeah.
And then, you know, hopefully we can get this in Walmart pretty soon.
All right. Well, all right. Yeah, I think it's time, Monica. I'm ready. So you brought a variety, but just before we went on, Monica said, "Well, I got level 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 in terms of the ick factor. Is that what
it's mostly like? Yeah, I mean the psychological. You know, it's still America. It's not that easy. We're not expecting that people are gonna start eating insects just like that. So it's definitely a lot of education is involved on this. We have our level 1 product is the chocolate covered crickets.
Okay, that's the gateway insect. Let's start with that.
And that's great because, you know, you do need a little bit of like, okay, I don't need to see the insect, but the insect is there. It's not like, should I put it here?
Yeah, go ahead. I'm eating insects a little bit.
These guys taste like Rice Krispies.
Okay,
they're just toasted.
Okay, but I'm looking now. Yeah, they look like little chocolate clusters of some kind. But the little protrusions, are those insect legs or is that just chocolate drips
it's
of chocolate?
Chocolate drips.
That's just
chocolate.
I'm going to pretend it's a cricket leg. And is this an integral cricket I'm eating or is it just pieces of cricket?
No, it's a whole cricket. And
each one of these is a whole cricket.
It's a whole cricket. Yeah.
This is the gateway one?
Yeah.
Okay, this is level 1. Okay, here we go. All right.
It's crunchy. We only toast them.
Crunchy,
we don't fry them. We don't use any oil.
You just toast. Wow. Yeah. I was expecting you were going to make it into like cricket meal or something and then make a cookie. No, I'm actually eating a whole cricket.
No, Don Buguito is about using the whole insect.
Mm.
And that way is a statement for us to say we want to close that gap that exists between food, where your food comes from, what your food is, and, you know, the people eating it. Like, a lot of people don't like to see the bones and the skin and the chicken. And I think it's a big problem in that.
Yeah.
So we using the whole insects.
All right. Well, Charlene knows this. That's my engineer. She knows I'm actually chowing down on these. These are really good. But honestly, this is just a piece of chocolate.
Yeah.
All right.
Exactly.
So that's why you're calling it the gateway.
Yeah.
Even though it I believe you. There's a whole cricket in each one. Okay.
So
now, are we going all the way to level 5? Or are you
going to? Yes. We are going to level. So the level 2 will be the chili like crickets. But
this is level 2?
This is level 3.
Level 3.
Actually, this is level 4.
Oh, whoa. Wait a second.
Let me open level 3 in 1 second.
That's level.
Wait, start with level 3.
Okay, level 2.
I'm having a hard time.
Is a worm. Like, that is a worm.
Okay, wait. Let's talk about this. There's not really a worm.
What is it?
We're not eating worms. We're eating the larva.
Oh, it's a larva. Oh, that's way better. Yeah.
There's a beetle. It's a dark clean beetle.
And is that corn?
Is that corn? So we use also, like, so Don Buguito.
I'll eat the corn.
Try to start with the corn.
Okay, I'm going to start with the corn.
So Don Buguito is also trying to rescue all these Native American ingredients in my food practice. So
all right, I'm ready. This is a larva.
Yeah, of a beetle.
Of a beetle.
Yeah.
All right, here we go.
I cannot open this.
All right, I'll help you open it in a minute if I survive this. Here we go. Okay, larva, a beetle.
It's really crunchy. You hear
crunchy.
It?
Crunchy.
And it tastes like corn in some way. So they eat it, whatever.
Yeah. It's got a little almost citrusy flavor. Is that?
It's a lime. So we do like fresh lime and a little bit of spices.
So I would characterize that, if I don't look at it, as just a crunchy snack, basically.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's, it's all in your mind. Once you do it once, you will feel like, oh.
All right. That was level 3.
I have clients who actually purchased cases of this a month. So one thing is, that psychological barrier of you eating a worm. Pair of scissors.
We're struggling here with the opening here. I'm going to use a pencil to puncture this package. Monica, I would say as a product designer, you got to work on that opening.
Oh, no, usually fine. Works fine. I don't know why. They don't want to come out.
Here we go. Okay, this is called coconut brittle Buguitos. What level relative to eating a larva?
That was third
this
level.
This is easier.
Yeah, that was easier because they're smaller. They coat it with sugar.
Oh, but I can see the larvae in there. Wow, those are cool.
Yeah, but it's smaller than the other one.
Yeah, but this looks like, this is like peanut brittle, but it's larvae brittle. Yeah, it's, definitely a new adventure. Okay, here we go.
So mealworms are very close to nuts. They taste like, they go really well with sweets. So.
All right, so Monica, those are good. Now, what's level 5?
No, you try this.
I tried level five.
I mean, we have this product. This is the most boring product that we have. This is a granola bite with wicked flour.
Oh, that's just maybe. So this should be level. This is level 2.
Level 2.
Yeah, this looks. Yeah, it's a granola bite, so it's just made with flour.
Yeah, but we don't. This is not our number one product. Our number one product is actually the chili lime crickets.
The chili lime crickets?
Yeah, we don't have here.
Oh, okay. Got it.
But this is a byproduct. So the little crickets that we cannot use for the chili lime.
Yeah.
We grind them.
Yeah. So I'm impressed. It's yummy stuff, actually, and pretty interesting. These are nice. They're really nice looking packages. So they're basically pouches, Ziploc pouches.
They're aluminum.
With bright, Mylar aluminum laminate, it looks like, and very nice graphics and everything. So this would appear, it's easy to imagine it in retail, this would be with chips and other snacks, when and if you're in Walmart. That's sort of the way you might imagine it. Tell us a little bit about pricing. So it's a very lightweight product, is mostly dehydrated. So these are 1.5 ounce or 1 ounce or packages. What do I pay at retail for these?
So the retail you pay from $5.99 to actually $11.
Yeah. So they're expensive relative to the weight. So you'd think of it more like beef jerky or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you have to think it's not just like you fry, garbage snack. It's a very wholesome type of snack.
Yeah.
We don't use more than 3 ingredients on it. Yeah. We don't have any weird names that you cannot pronounce, preservatives.
But I'll read these ingredients. It's great. So the first ingredient is toasted superworms. Is that an FDA term, or did you make that up?
That's a farm term. So we make Buguitos, actually. We call the mealworms, superworms, we call them Buguitos. So we're trying to raise that word of mealworms.
Mealworms.
Because they're not even worms.
They're not even worms.
And larva sounds worse. So we call it Buguitos.
Buguito,
And I mean, the crickets, we call them crickets.
So you call them crickets, yeah.
Yeah, I think I have a theory that people are more friendly to crickets because crickets have been more like a friendly character in any culture. Like in Chinese culture, they're like, a good luck you know, like cricket.
Yeah, aren't and they in Pinocchio or something?
Yeah, yeah. Jiminy the Cricket. And that. Yeah, yeah. So I attribute that, the people feel more comfortable with cricket because that. So we're trying to create this, like, you know, a very positive thing. I mean, it took me a year to develop these recipes, and I know that when people try this for the first time, it has to be a very, very positive experience.
Yeah.
You don't want them to have a negative experience.
So there's an idea in marketing. There's a marketing model. This is a nerdy business school aside, but there's a marketing model called awareness, trial, and repeat. And it basically says you can think about what fraction of the marketplace is aware of the product.
Uh-huh.
And if they're aware, of the fraction that's aware, what fraction will try it? And then of the fraction that try it, what fraction will repeat? So we know that it gets smaller and smaller and smaller. So we know that the awareness is very small right now, but growing perhaps.
It's growing tremendously since like 7 years ago.
Yeah. But let's say, I'm really curious about the fall off between trial and repeat. So I'm wondering, I mean, I would absolutely and will absolutely buy these because they're fun, right? It's easy to imagine having them at a party and having fun with it. The question is, of the fraction who try, how many repeat, or do you not know yet?
Yeah. We have a lot of repeaters, actually. We have true followers that, you know, we have direct communication, and now we supply them directly.
And how would you characterize their primary motivation?
Healthy snack.
I
have three clients at least that they purchase this monthly for snacks for the entire family. We at the Ferry Building Farmers Market 3 months out of the year. And that's a great testing ground because there we get, I mean, every year we go, we get our, you know, we get back our clients that go there all the time. And then we have like mostly our, you know, the people that look for our products are definitely people who are looking for healthy living styles, like a lot of athletes. We have these guys, they're a biker team, you know, and they love to take this in the back poker because when they're biking, it's so light. And it's a, you know, a bite of protein. We do really well also in the airport. We sell in at the Virgin America Terminal 2, Napa Farms Market. We do very well there because, I mean, in airports, how many times you look for a really healthy snack? You know, and you cannot find them.
Yeah.
I mean, that terminal is, you know, incredible, amazing. But very unique compared to other terminals. But I think it's mostly people who are looking for healthy or wants to change, you know. There's no healthy snacks when you go to the aisles of, like, you know, hopefully Walmart is listening to
it. All right. Well, Walmart, you'll get there. But let's go back then to the beginning. So you talked a little bit about your motivation, which was to both bring back you call it pre-Hispanic snack, so a sort of a indigenous food.
So not a lot of people understand that term of pre-Hispanic. Pre-Hispanic is like pre-Columbian. So before the, you know, any, I guess, Europeans came into the American continent. I'm talking about the entire American continent.
Yeah, sure.
So we were eating, like, you know, edible insects, duck, fish, venison. So there were other proteins besides chicken, pork, and beef.
Right.
So it's kind of a way to not completely, you know, eradicate cattle farms and that, but a way to understand there's other type of diets. They are called like ancestral diets or more like smart diets, and they're more in harmony with the planet.
Yeah.
So that's what Don Bullito is trying to do in some way. We're trying to rescue also, you know, they're using like this type of corn. This is like cancha corn, which is the original version of corn nuts. Corn nuts are the genetically modified version of this. We use tomato, you know, as a way that not a lot of people know that tomatoes are native for the American
Central
continent.
Yeah.
They think that they're Italian. We use also, chocolate.
I get you. It strikes me you're not, you didn't set out initially to transform a huge fraction of the food supply to insects. You basically said, I want to build awareness and start a trend. towards this food, this protein source, right? Well, or was it more mission driven?
No, it was more mission driven at the beginning. Obviously, my background is in industrial design and arts.
Yeah.
So I didn't start with the idea of, I'm going to have a business ever.
Yeah.
So it was an urban farming project, and then 10
was
years ago.
Was it in school? You started in school?
No.
Okay.
Kind of. It was right after I graduated from graduate school.
Yeah.
So that was kind of like the next of my thesis. And then that's what the project came out to be, an urban farming project. And I present this project in New York City. And next to this space, this gallery space, I was presenting my project. There was a kitchen called the Brooklyn Kitchen. And then we thought, the gallerist and I thought, let's host a dinner. So it took me a year to figure I had to design these little pots. It was these little pots that I thought people can have them in their kitchen.
You
like
mean
a desktop.
Grow.
To grow, like these little farms, like a desktop type of farms that I thought people can have in the kitchen and grow their own protein.
You know, I teach product design.
I was way too.
I teach product design. This sounds like such a product design
project. Well, I'm an industrial designer.
Yeah.
So I designed these little things, desktop type of farms, and I was way ahead of the time because I realized, wait, I mean, Americans are not, they don't even know about edible insects.
Right.
So we hosted a dinner for 40 people, and then with the insects that grow, it took me a year to figure out, you know, I killed many of them because I was suffocating them. Right. They didn't have the proper air. I mean, I was working with a living organism.
Right.
So anyway, the dinner was such a success. People were engaged. People were talking about it. People like, you know, so that was a clicking thing about like, okay, let's introduce the culture of eating insects.
Yeah.
And that's when Don Buguito concept came. Okay, you cannot just create a product with edible insects. So luckily, I'm from Mexico. So I grabbed from my culture and said, okay, let's revive, you know, the practice of eating insects.
And where did you, how did you arrive at the snack food concept as the way to get started?
That's a great question. No. I didn't start as a snack. Oh, my God, no. So the business is 7 years old. I mean, the concept is 10 years old. Business 7 years old. So I actually started cooking with edible insects. So after that dinner, the New York Times asked me for exclusive, give the exclusive to the New York Times, came out in the front page of the dining section.
Wow.
So a lot of chefs probably were pissed off.
Yeah.
Somebody numb, you know.
Yeah.
So after that, I got this guy called Andrew Zimmerman from Food Network who wants me to cook a lunch for him. So he came to my house here in San Francisco, and then he asked me, what's next?
Yeah.
So this was the beginning of food trucks, the trend of food trucks.
Food trucks didn't start. Yeah.
And then, so I was like, so just because I'm from Mexico City, and in Mexico City we have like food carts every corner, I was fascinated by this, you know, as a way of social anthropological way. So I said, I'm going to have a little truck or little cart that's going to sell a full menu of edible insects. Mm. So I told that in national television. So I was like, I had to do it.
Wow.
So I was thinking still like...
So I got to underscore the entrepreneurial principle here, which is if you don't really want to do something, just say it on national television, and then you have to do it.
And then you have to do it.
All right.
But I was still thinking as a designer, as an artist, and then it was never as a business person. And then I, couple blocks from my house is this place called La Cocina, which is an incubator. Food incubator.
Yeah.
So I went, knocked the door and said, this is what I want to do. And they said, okay, write a business plan. So I kind of fake it.
Yeah.
Because I don't know how to write a business plan back then.
Yeah.
And I wrote I'm a very decent, I guess, business plan. They took me to the incubator, which means they actually guide me to the basics of like, how, you know, all the permits and blah, blah, blah. Obviously, it wasn't easy. I had to talk to the health department.
And this was to do a food car. Yeah.
So for 4 years, that's what I did. I was selling food in every possible street food festival, off the grid, food markets in the city. I was doing pop-up dinners.
In California?
In San Francisco. I was doing pop-up dinners. I was hosting dinners.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was cooking every Monday at Tacolicious at Mosto.
Yeah.
Tacolicious. And this is in 2011.
Yeah.
So that was 4 years. It was heavily about educating people in the street. And the street was great because you could access all kinds of people, like young adults, rich, poor, every possible, you know. So for 4 years, I pretty much educate people. I didn't make any money.
But was this your full-time employment, though?
No, I'm always, I was, you know, I was still being an artist, a designer. So I was teaching. I'm teacher.
I was going to say, so your day job was being a sculptor.
Yeah.
That's not a good way to pay the bills.
No. Yeah. So neither with this.
Neither with this. Yeah.
Neither with this. I started teaching like at the California College of the Arts in the design department. Like,
teaching.
Teaching. Right. So I was teaching in the San Francisco Institute, SFAI, San Francisco, what is it? USF and CCA. So after 4 years of doing this, I was pregnant and I cannot keep waking up. You know, most people don't know the food makers wake up at 5 a.m. and go to bed at midnight.
Yeah.
With $100 in their pocket.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
So I cannot keep doing that. And then by then the brand Don Buguito was very more established, and then people, you know, even I would get emails from Argentina, from Switzerland, from England, everywhere about, like, you know, what I was doing. So that's when I came, I pivoted the business to become a snack package company.
Yeah. So tell us.
So after 4 years of, you know, cooking in the streets and actually competing with like fried chicken and burgers and all this, I was using, you know, like premium ingredients. I was like, I introduced like, you know, organic blue corn masa.
Yeah.
All these other ingredients that people were not familiar with. And I mean, they were prime ingredients, so I could not compete at the street food, you know. So I give up the food car and then I pivot the business to be a snack package company. Obviously, it didn't happen from night to morning.
Yeah.
So
And about how long ago was that?
For like a year.
Okay.
So from 2013, 2014, it was a testing ground to see if the packaged product was going to, you know. So I've been very lucky. So I have all these channels where like the Cuesa Farmers Market, where I can test there what works, what doesn't work. Got a lot of feedback from people like about, this is my third package. Like you will laugh if you see the first packaging. It's like...
These are good looking pouches.
The first packaging literally was a piece of plastic with a handmade sticker and handwritten chocolate covered crickets. But I sold out. I think I produced 100 packages. So the first item was the chocolate covered cricket. Yeah. And then I was like, okay, now the next one and the next one. And then, so it's all about, you know, it's been about testing the market. Now we are in 45 retail grocery specialty foods. Mm-hmm. We are very stable. We are, you know, growing very organically.
Yeah.
People, we allow in the market for, you know, people to know. We've been very lucky with press, with media.
Yeah, so I want to, I want to just circle back on something you said earlier, which is, I want if you talk a little bit about the cricket and what are we calling them? Buguito.
The
supply chain. So are you, have you always been growing them, raising them yourselves?
No.
And are you doing that now? So talk a little bit about procuring supply.
Yeah. So that's a big subject. So at the beginning I was like sourcing whatever farmers I could source. I have some really good, you know, relationship that I have built over the past. But some of these farmers...
There were farmers?
Back then, at the beginning, there were no farmers. So I was working with farmers that were farming these for chickens or fish.
I see. So they were farming insects as food, as meal, or as livestock or chicken food.
So if you eat farm chicken and farm fish, you eat an insect.
Yeah.
So actually, this is where the idea came from. Like, I want to remove out of the picture the chickens and the fish and go straight to the protein.
Interesting. Yeah, that's really interesting. Yeah.
So I was working with some of these farmers, and then there was this farm, I don't want to say names.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, that's names. Yeah.
They opened in Canada, and we were excited, and then, but at the same time, we were like, I was questioning, like, wait a minute, I cannot bring the insects from Canada. That kills the sustainable aspect.
Yeah,
like,
I see. Yeah.
And then some of these farms were feeding actually the insects fish, like fish meal. So I was like, that's killing the completely.
Right.
There's nothing about sustainable in here. And the insects were testing like fish.
Yeah, not
and then
so good.
Because we were a company that using whole insects, the taste of the insect is very important.
Yeah.
So anyway, for 7 years, I struggled a lot. We're still working with one farm that we loved for our crickets. But a year ago, we opened our own farm operations in Oakland.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Indoors.
We call it outdoor. It's like a greenhouse instead of warehouse.
Yeah.
So we allowing the insects. We are taking a more holistic approach. Yeah. We allowing the insects to follow the day cycle and, you know, become lethargic when it has
to. And describe lethargic. For us how I can imagine. Yeah, describe to us what this looks like. I'm trying to imagine a cricket farm.
It is a lot of sound, and also the mealworms make a little like.
Do they really?
You can hear the it's like beetles. So we had thousands of beetles, like, you know, crawling.
Oh, because the beetles make the
eggs, and they climb in. Yeah. You know the little cardboard structures that we put them on, and then
remind me not to come visit. This sounds a little scary.
No, it's really beautiful, actually.
Yeah,
and these guys, they live very nicely. We don't use any plastic in our farm. We treat it as food. So we use, mostly it's vertical.
Yeah.
So we use these aluminum trays.
Yeah. So Monica, we just have a minute, or really less than half a minute. So it's amazing. It's super exciting. So just in 30 seconds, what's next for you?
For next, we just moved to a great kitchen called Kitchen Town, which is a scale-up kitchen in San Mateo. We are working on developing new products.
Yeah.
More moving tiny bit from the snack, more into wholesome, like a meal, based on edible insects, but also we expanding. We want to expand on the pre-Columbian food.
Yeah. Well, it's really awesome. So I'm going to just point our listeners one more time to the website. I assume they can order online.
Yes.
Yeah. So Don Bugito. Don Bugito, DonBugito.com. Great name, by the way.
Yeah, can I talk
briefly? Yeah, go ahead.
So
yeah,
Don,
15 seconds.
Don Bugito is like, you know, Don in Mexico is for like the name for like the big guy.
Yeah.
So I want to give it a lot of credit to this little tiny guy. So it's like the big little
Don
guy.
Don Bugito. All right, awesome. So thanks again, Monica.
Sure, thank you.
I'm Carl Ulrich, Vice Dean of Entrepreneurship and Innovation at Wharton. Launchpad is produced by Business Radio, powered by the Wharton School, on Sirius XM, Channel 111. The show airs live on Wednesdays from 7 to 9 p.m. You can find more episodes of this podcast on SoundCloud or on iTunes.
For more insight from Business Radio, please visit businessradio.wharton.upenn.edu.